Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, most of us have probably had to deal with some kind of issue with one or many of our neighbors. For those who maybe won't bring their cans in after trash pickup, to those who play loud music, and those who will not leash or curb their dogs, what to do, what to say. Stay quiet or confront your neighbor and get it all out at once. We're talking about that tonight. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Again, neighborly stuff. That's what we're talking about tonight. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight in studio, Gaynell Diaz, Director of Resident and Community Relations with Alexandria's Redevelopment and Housing Authority. And Stacy Lincoln, ANC Commissioner in Ward 4 in the district. And on the phone line, Dr. Casey Lewis, Commissioner with the Commandership Communities in Prince George's County. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Lewis, let's start with you. How do we connect with our neighbors when we are having issues?
The best way to do that is just to go to them and knock on the door and just sit down and have a conversation, or invite them to your home to have a conversation. Sometimes that could be hard, but if you have a board, if you live in a board-controlled community, you can have the board send letters to the community or in a newsletter and say, we are all in a community and a community is family, and we must respect one another. We must look out for one another, and we must be respectful of each other.
Stacy Lincoln, I must admit, I formerly was on my community's HOA board, Stacy, and I used to be president of the HOA.
Okay.
So it wasn't always easy to deal with your neighbors when there are issues. You are head of the ANC, ANC commissioner in Ward 4. You got to deal with your neighbors all the time on issues that aren't always easy. How do you do it?
Well, one, being an ANC commissioner, you have to have a stomach to hear all types of situations, complaints, some that you may think are ridiculous and some that may be legitimate. And I try to take a fair approach. And many times as an ANC commissioner, a neighbor will bring a complaint to my attention, and sometimes it's difficult when you feel like that complaint may not be legitimate. Now, you want to address every situation, but sometimes you know that some complaints are, for lack of a better word, without merit. So you have to be very cautious how you address those issues. I'll give a quick example. Sometimes I'll get a complaint about a neighbor who is building a fence and it's not up to code, or the neighbor may not know that that neighbor, the one who's building the fence, has the proper documentation and proper permit or credentials. So, you know, they bring that to my attention, and of course, I'll have to address it as an ANC community leader. And sometimes a neighbor will say, well, who is the one who's making this complaint? Why don't they mind their own business? And so the first thing I have to say is, one, you know, it's probably not a good idea to say who lodged the complaint, but I just want to let you know that the complaint was lodged, and make you aware that if you do not have the proper documentation, proper permit, you know, get that in order, and then we can let's just move forward. So it is a challenge sometimes.
Gaynell Diaz, should folks approach their neighbors? I mean, in old school, there was, you know, no HOA. When I was little, you moved into your house. It was your house. You cut your grass. If you had any problems, it might be with the state or the county, right? And now you have these HOAs, and oftentimes you try to go through them. Have we lost something with neighbors sort of dealing with each other, or is it that we watch too much news and all the bad stuff that's going on?
No, I agree with Dr. Lewis when she said, I don't think there is a problem with approaching a neighbor. Right. I think we do need to get back to that, because I think a lot of times some of the issues that people may go to Stacey with could be eliminated in the beginning if we could just learn to communicate with each other, just learn to get to know each other, realize that we probably share more than, you know, we're more alike than we are different. Mm-hmm. But I think that's something that we have lost, you know, that back in the day, everybody knew everybody, mm-hmm. you know, you could, you know. If you were a child and you did something wrong, you knew the neighbor saw, you know, oh, my mom's going to know by the time I get home mm-hmm. I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do, you know.
But folks are scared to do that.
That
now.
Is true.
Well, won't you, isn't it, you're sort of scared to approach someone else's child. You may want mm-hmm. to. So how do you get over that of not being hesitant to do that? Is that about sort of having a relationship with your neighbor, having a conversation to say, hey, if I see your child doing something wrong, is it okay for me to pull them up?
Right.
Is that where you have to go with that?
I think you do. I think that's part of it. I think when there is a relation, and that's part of what it is, when there's a relationship there, you can, because they know who you are and you know who they are. So there's no stranger. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no ambiguity there. So, right. again, once you have gotten to know them and you've built that relationship, then there's a trust and a comfort level that you build.
Dr. Lewis, for all the good that HOAs do, right, they try to help keep your property values up. Some may say they annoy the residents because, you know, you can't have campaign signs in your yard and you can't paint your shutters certain colors. Again, I'm talking as a former president of an HOA. Do they get in the way sometimes of being neighborly because you feel like there's so many sort of restrictions on what you can do in the neighborhood that it sort of shuts folks off from everyone else?
Well, you know, as a realtor, I have often told people that I have taken to different communities, go to that community on Saturday and Sunday, anytime during the day to see how people are in there, especially during the summer. But HOAs are there to govern. They are there to help people understand that this is a community with different people living in it, but we all must live together. When I was president, I started a committee where the people in the community could join a committee with anywhere they could on the, you know, with the board, and learn to get to know people. When I first moved to my community, we had parades, we had cookouts, we had block parties. Now we have nothing because we've got so many people moving in who don't want to be bothered. Mm-hmm. I'm a senior advocate also, and I look out for the seniors in my community. I started the Christmas in April so that we could possibly go out and help those seniors who didn't have the help that they needed. I woke up one morning when it was snowing. It was snowing hard. And I heard all this scraping, and I told my husband, somebody's scraping. Our neighbor across the street had just moved in, and he came over and started cleaning the snow off of my house. I told him, I said, I appreciate what you're doing, and we are very close now, and a lot of the neighbors on my block are very close because we try to be that way, to watch out for each other. The nosy neighbor, I'm the one, because I get up like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and I look out the window if I hear noise.
All right.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing we need to be doing. Everybody needs somebody to look out for them. And parents are not, I hate to say it, but parents are not governing their kids the way they should now. Like the young lady said, when I was growing up, if I did something, they would come tell my mother, or they might beat my butt themselves. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen today.
So we miss the noisy neighbor. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're out there and you are listening and there is something that you would want to tell your neighbor, what would it be? Would it be your annoying neighbor or just a neighbor that you like, but you want to say something to them and you just can't build up the courage to do it? We want to know, what would that be? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stacey Lincoln, we talked about the neighbor, the nosy neighbor, what role the HOAs play. What I thought was interesting is what Dr. Lewis mentioned. She also mentioned something about seniors, right? And that's kind of a different sort of group that now mm-hmm. you're dealing with when you're talking about neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're talking about whether or not you look out for that neighbor, right, that older folk in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a relationship in your neighborhood, that's a problem, right?
That can be a problem for a number of reasons. One is, Because the world that we live in now, seniors are susceptible to scams and con artists and that sort of thing, too. And I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'm proud that I visit the seniors in my community quite often. And because I have a pretty good relationship with not all, but most of them, if there is something where a stranger will, you know, visit them and attempt to sell them something, they're quick to call me and say, hey, this happened. This person came to my door. Have you heard anything about it? And thankfully, we have a community listserv also that sometimes serves as sort of a way to alert the community. And I monitor that listserv quite often. So it can be a challenge. But I would say this. I think when Dr. Lewis was mentioning that her neighbor was scraping off her car or helping her clear the snow, sometimes that's great. And then there are other times where we don't know the orientation or the purpose, the behind scene of what that what that person is doing. So I think the first approach is really when we move in next to someone, let's observe our neighbors first before we approach them. Because sometimes, I have to be honest, as an ANC commissioner for the past 4 years, I have to be honest, there are some neighbors who are just not nice, you know. I mean, and you know, so that's a challenge too. Now, most of the neighbors, most of the people that I know are pretty good. They look out for their neighbors, that sort of thing. But there are some who says, I want nothing to do with them. This is my space. I mind my own business. If something is missing off their porch, it has nothing to do with me. So you have those neighbors, and some neighbors just really want to be left alone, and, you know, you just leave them alone.
You have to respect that.
Yeah.
So do you stay away from the neighbor who is not nice? Do you do that? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Pat calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, Pat, with your question or comment.
My comment was that I just think people just should mind their business, you know? Some people work different hours. They don't want to be bothered. And you just mind your business, and you won't have any problems.
Uh-oh. Gay nails? BS? Okay, so now Miss Pat just called in, and she's just cutting us to the chase. Mind your business. So this conversation we're having, for her, would be very short. What do you say to someone like Pat who says, I don't want to get involved, piggybacking what Stacy said? Not necessarily that they're mean.
Right.
I'm not saying that Miss Pat is mean, but she's just like, look, don't bother me. I won't bother you.
Right.
Right. I mean, if someone has expressed a desire, you know, I think at the end of the day, you have to respect, you know, their wishes to a certain extent. But I do think, you know, there are times when I think it is good. Like, I'm going to go back with maybe whether the nose and neighbor. There might be times when it's good sometimes, you know, for people to know, you know, what's going on in the community, or for you to reach out, you know, and to have, you know, it may be the person that says, leave me alone. They may have the one that gets the package that's stolen, and they might like to know that if someone else saw something, and then at least they know that they have people that they can reach out to, or, you know, like when they need it in that situation.
And Dr. Lewis, is that where that list serve comes in, right? That email chain where you can kind of stay connected but not necessarily knock on the door, right? Is that where social media becomes very important and useful?
Yes, social media becomes very important with that. But again, I must go back to the boards who control these communities. It is so important that they keep the community connected. There could be newsletters telling about what's going on in the community. Birthday parties, the kids graduated. You know, you can bring people together. And I think we've lost that with all of the things that are happening in the world today. So many people are afraid because there's so much crime going on. You keep the crime out of your community when you come together.
Yeah, I don't think you can let the fear sort of just override and control everything else.
That's right.
But isn't that difficult? I mean, I'm in the media, so I just read the news prior to us coming on. Missile attacks, you know, folks being hit by cars, arrests being made, shootings on 7th Street just the other night. And so, Stacy, it would seem to me it's hard. You're sort of swimming upstream, right, to tell folks not to be fearful mm-hmm. when so much of what they see mm-hmm. is fear-based.
I just have to say I'm glad I go to First Baptist because I walk with the Lord. So you know what? I was raised in Southeast, between Georgetown, Corcoran Street, and Southeast. And then when I got married, I moved to Maryland. You have to learn to walk tall. And I know there are a lot of people who may be afraid, but when you are afraid, that's when you connect with other people. Mm-hmm. That group protection is so powerful.
Well, we also want to know, what would you do, what would you say for that neighbor? And this happens, right? You've got the neighbor that's walking through with their dog. They don't curb their dog. And for me, when a dog is not on a leash, that is a major problem. And I even sort of wonder, what do I say to that neighbor, or do I let it go? So we want to talk about those things. Trash cans. I'm kind of giving some personal thing here. Folks who leave their trash cans out, you know, after the pickup has already been right. 2 or 3 days ago. Yeah. So we want to hear from you, not just my complaints, too, right? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. We are going to continue this conversation because the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Angela Stribling is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. And tonight we are talking about neighborhoods, how to deal with those neighbors and issues that are just bothering you. Do you confront your neighbor if something's annoying you? What do you say to them? Do you leave it alone? Do you go through the HOA? And if you had a chance to confront a neighbor that was annoying you, what would you tell them? We want to hear from you tonight. What would you say? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Gaynell Diaz, Director of Resident and Community Services.
Yes.
Yes, with the Alexandria Redevelopment and Housing Authority, and Stacy Lincoln, ANC Commissioner in Ward 4 in the district. And on the phone line with us is Dr. Casey Lewis, Commissioner with the Commandership Communities in Prince George's County.
It's the Common Ownership Communities in Prince George's County.
Commissioner with the Common Ownership Communities. Yes. Thank you so much in Prince George's County. Yes. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stacy Lincoln, you were going to try to finish some thoughts on, I think we were talking about with the resident who doesn't want to be bothered, or the resident who's mean, right. Do you just leave them alone, or do you try to find some other neighbor who might want to talk with this neighbor?
I was going to say two things. One is, I agree that some neighbors just really want to be left alone. Yeah, and if I didn't say it, it doesn't mean that they're mean or nasty. They just want to be left alone. There are times that I just want to be left alone. So I understand that, but I will say this, and Dr. Lewis said it best, is we really can't let fear be the cause of us not talking to our neighbors. And then the other thing I want to say is, you had talked about a number of things like the trash can and mm-hmm. curbing your dogs. Mm-hmm. There are laws that govern those things. The challenge that some of us face is, one, not knowing the specific law. Mm-hmm. And then the other challenge is, how is it really going to be addressed by the law? I mean, at that moment that the dog has pooped and you witness, you know,
there's no one around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. you
it's
can
like
call
the tree
the police.
That fell. Right, yeah.
You can call the police, but I can tell you, if you tell that police why you're calling him, you know.
But see, now, so we're stuck, Stacy. We're stuck.
Well, we are stuck, and I'll give one quick situation. There is a person in our neighborhood, and I know this person is probably going to may call in. Is, you know, there's this homeless camp that's sort of adjacent to where they live. And so the person is saying, well, I don't want them there. I do care about them, their homeless situation, but I just don't want them there. And so you know, when they when neighbors pass by and they see the homeless people there and the homeless people are asking them for money or probably being a little aggressive in asking them for money. And the homeless people are sort of inebriated. You know, they're not just homeless people who's just down and out. They're drunk. They have some issues or whatever the case is. And so the challenge is getting those neighbors together, trying to handle this situation, move these neighbors along. And the point I'm trying to make is we were in a community meeting. We had the police in the meeting. And so the neighbors were saying, well, what can we do about this homeless people who are near this church in the vicinity of where we live? And the police had to say to them, well, there's no law against being homeless. Two, there's no law, there's no loitering laws in the district, so those homeless people, as long as they're not impeding traffic or breaking the law, they have a right to exist in the state where they're situated. So unless they're breaking the law, there's really nothing you can do about it. And so the point is we need to really understand what the law is before we sometimes move forward with our neighbors or strangers in the community.
And I think the problem might be then once we understand what the law is, then we don't like it, and then so those tensions continue to rise, right?
That's true.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about neighbors and how to deal with those neighbors that kind of get on your nerves, and maybe even how to foster better relationships with your neighbors. Is it through the HOA? Is it through cookouts? Do we do that anymore? Dr. Lewis says we don't do a lot of that sort of community outreach. We see some of it, but do we see enough of it? 202-319-7810. We want to hear from you. Let's go to the phone lines. David calling from Maryland. Go right ahead, David.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm having an ongoing issue with my neighbor. I live in a middle-class community in PG County, a single-family home. My neighbor directly across the street from me since 2016. This is when the situation began in 2016, and this is when it escalated at its highest level until where it got physical. But just to give you some background, my neighbors directly across the street from me, they frequently have events or gatherings, occasions, parties at their home. They have a lot of guests. Quite often their guests, during each of these events, their guests will block my driveway or a portion of my driveway. And as I said, I live directly across the street from them, and their guests will park and block a portion of my driveway. The first time it happened was in 2016. I went and knocked on their door. At this point, we were friendly neighbors. I went and knocked on their door and, you know, explained the situation to them, and they didn't want to move their vehicle. And as I said earlier, the situation escalated into a physical altercation where the police had to get involved. Police got called, and they got involved. And since that point in 2016, and now we're in 2020, and since that point in 2016, it still happens to the point where as soon as I see that the guests are blocking my driveway, I don't even go knock on their door anymore. And this is at the recommendation of the local police department to call the police department.
So, David,
don't go knock on their door.
If it's continually happening, what are the police telling you when you say, I have to keep calling you about this? Mm-hmm. What are the police saying to you about how they can rectify the situation, or are they saying they can't?
Well, the last time I had to call the police, and it was back in, I think, September of October, because that's when, over the years, that's when the occasions are almost weekly.
Right, but I want you to get directly to telling us what the police are telling you.
Well, initially they told me to call them and instead of going over there knocking the door. And then after maybe the sixth time I had to call them, they asked me, they told me, you know, not to call them any longer. And they asked me, why am I calling them? Why don't I go knock on their door? And I told the police officer at that time, and this was back in September, that right. I'm calling you all at the recommendation of the police department.
All right. Let me let our panel address that, because he, you know, this is kind of deep, Dr. Lewis.
It really is.
Is David stuck?
Community?
Say again.
Does he belong to a board control community?
I don't know if David is still there. Is David still there?
I'm still here. Yeah, we have an HOA, and I've actually brought this up with the HOA back in 2017. Nothing has happened.
Okay. What would be your recommendation, Dr. Lewis, for David?
My recommendation is that you call the Office of Community Relations, which is within the Prince George's County government. That number is 301-952. I'll give it to you in a little bit because I don't
okay,
have
make sure,
right now.
Right, make sure
but
that...
Called, it's the Office of Community Relations for the commissioners. You call them, let them know what is going on, and I guarantee you, you will get some help.
Gaynell, boy, David, that's... first of all, blocking a driveway.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Well, I've
so,
had that done too. Yeah.
Yeah. Gaynell, blocking a driveway is so egregious, right? And
it
then
is.
When it continues to happen, I mean, I kind of get annoyed sometimes if folks are just parking in front of my house and it's a public
right.
street, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But blocking a driveway, Gaynell Diaz, mm-hmm. what advice would you give to a resident like David on how to either de-escalate that? Leave it alone, put cones in front of his.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking I would go buy some cones and put cones in my driveway, maybe.
But they will remove those cones.
Okay, hold your thought, Dr. Lewis, okay. for a moment. Let me let Gaynell jump in there.
But definitely, I think he should. If you're in an HOA and you're paying dues in an HOA, I would think that to a certain extent, there's got to be some laws in that community that, like I said, the HOA is the governing body and that's what you're paying your dues for. So I would also, you know, I would start, you know, writing or emailing, going to meetings and being consistent with them and hold them accountable for helping to maybe de-escalate that situation and make sure that he's not infringing upon his neighbor's, you know, rights there.
Stacy, you wanted to comment on that?
I was just about to say the same thing, really. What you have to do in certain situations is you have to develop a paper trail. So you'll have to call the police, unfortunately, several times so that you have something on record. So at some point when you call again, then the police is definitely aware of it. And then the quick thing that you can do is get cones and put it in there. Sometimes you just have to take some responsibility for yourself. One thing you certainly don't want to do is confront them continuously because then you're going to have an escalated situation. So call the police, get something on record, create a record.
Paper trail.
And then the immediate thing is just put something in front of your driveway, even if it means putting a sign there saying, please do not park here. Generally, people at some point will understand what's going on and try to avoid a situation that can escalate.
But to David's point, sounds like this neighbor is not understanding that.
Yeah.
And Stacy,
right. yeah.
it would seem to me that the frustrating thing would be is if the police say, why are you continually calling us?
Right. Yeah.
That's a bad officer, I'll be quite honest with you. And I've sort of had situations like that before. That's sort of a bad response from a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Most police officers who are trained well will respond differently. They will come out. They will do a courtesy knock on that neighbor's door and simply say, hey, we have this complaint. And generally, when the police comes to your door and knock on your door, that neighbor then will feel like they're put on notice. They will generally reduce it because a neighbor who really doesn't want to have a track record of being in the police system mm-hmm. will back off. If a police comes to a neighbor's door and knocks on the door and say, hey, we've got this complaint. Unfortunately, it's your neighbor who's complaining about the parking situation based on events that you have,
mm-hmm.
That neighbor would generally scale back their issues and they will tell their company who's coming over, hey, I've got this complaint. I want to have good relations with my neighbor. So let's try to find a solution to this. Let's move our cars over here or move it in the yard. Sometimes you may even have to park on their grass. But mm-hmm. generally, create a track record with the police and then put some signs up. And I think generally, if it's really a good neighbor who's really not trying to be a bad neighbor, they'll scale back the situation.
And Dr. Lewis, I know you wanted to sort of follow up or jump in some point. Go right ahead with your comment.
You know, it did happen to me one morning. I'm a person who gets up between 4 and 7. And the young lady had blocked my driveway who lived next door. Now, they have about 9 cars, okay? So she did block my driveway. Well, I went out to her that morning when she got in the car, and I said, please do not block my driveway, because if you do it again, if I get sick or my husband gets sick, I'm going to have to rush out of here, and I might tear your car up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best for you not to block my driveway. I have had that happen on the block that I live on quite a bit, and it's really egregious. We have to get together as a people in this community and start asking for stronger laws. There should be, if the police comes out and they're blocking your driveway, there should be a ticket put on that car.
Right.
Now,
certain things have to be done in order for it to stop. A lot of times you can go say, please don't do this anymore. But you'll be surprised, I mean, how many times people will constantly park in front of your, near my mailbox, in front of my mm-hmm. house.
And I was just going to add, you know, in my neighborhood, you actually can call the tow truck. So if someone blocks your driveway or blocks mm-hmm. you in or parks on the by the yellow curb, we actually have a service. Our HOA has made mm-hmm. that available to us. There's
that
a specific
wonderful.
Company mm-hmm. so that you can call that you have the right to call the tow company, and they yeah. will tow the car.
And in the district, it's slightly different. And I don't want to say something about the district laws, but the district laws in D.C. are very intentional and specific. And I say that because the law sometimes can be sort of detrimental. I know.
Now, I want you to hold that because okay. I want you to be able to sort of
sure.
expound on that because
okay.
I think that's important because mm-hmm. a lot of folks are probably
right.
thinking, okay,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about these right. laws in D.C.
Right.
We're talking about neighborhoods, your neighbors, HOA. How do you deal with all of that to keep your communities whole, keep that village solid and together, and have more of a community vibe? How do you tell your neighbors things that you may not like about them, that neighbor that annoys you? We still want to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment. It will continue right after this timeout.
This is what I would like to tell my annoying neighbor. Could you please keep your dog in your yard behind your fence? He's dangerous and he is annoying.
The one thing that I would like to tell my annoying neighbor is to take some cooking classes, because every time you attempt to cook, you stink up the entire hallway and it makes everyone sick.
Okay. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 and HR Voices. This is the Insight segment. And if you kind of hadn't figured it out, what would you want to tell your annoying neighbor if you had the opportunity to do so? And those folks you just heard, get your dog in your yard and do something with the onions or something. Whatever you're cooking, it's not working in the hallway. So hopefully these folks have had a chance to say this to their neighbors. I got a feeling that they haven't yet. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. We're talking about neighbors, neighborhoods, and sort of how to find a way to bridge that gap with those neighbors that you're having problems with, and what would you want to tell them? 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Let's go back to the phone lines. DW has been waiting patiently on the line. Go right ahead, DW, with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I kind of caught your show midway, and so I didn't know that it was a, you know, what can we do to put our neighbors in check type of show. But, you know, the thought comes to mind, if you got to live around people, the sense of community is very important. Whatever happened to extending the olive branch? I mean, and showing kindness that you may be able to, you know, win neighbors over and just being friendly. And the lady who called earlier that said that just, you know, mind your business, I mean, that's fine for an individual, but for a group of people to live around each other, if I'm asleep and my house is on fire, I would want someone to feel comfortable enough to come and tell me, or not, and I know that's drastic, but if someone, like, for example, I came out a couple of days ago, early in the morning I leave, and I see this guy looking in someone's trash can, I'm going to go tell my neighbor to say, hey, be careful what you're putting in your trash can, of course, around the holidays and all. But you need that type of community to have strong communities. That type of attitude brings about the attitude that says things like snitches get stitches or snitches get stitches. That's
mm-hmm.
it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what evolved out of that type of attitude when you talk about just mind your business. I mean, we live around each other, so I just wanted to share that. Thank you guys for having the show. Have a good night.
You too, DW. Thank you so much. Dr. Lewis, you're sort of what I'm picking up a little bit, too, of what DW is saying, I think, and part is it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. I mean, I had a neighbor who had a toilet out on their on the front stoop. Right, and they weren't using it, but they were throwing it away, but they had it on the front stoop, and I sort of had to explain, well, you can't leave it there, and you need bulky trash to pick it up, and, you know, we had a civil conversation, but that just could not stay. So is it really just about how you say things to folks when you're dealing with neighbors, not so much all the time what you say?
It is truly how you say it, because if you're pleasant when you go to them and don't go to them angrily, then you might get a response that would, you know, people take what you say and they turn it back around to you. So if you're kind to them and you talk to them and say, will you kindly, like I told the young lady, please do not park, you know, park my your car in my driveway or near my driveway or block my driveway. But I find that it, in my capacity as a commissioner for homeownership, the boards have a very strong role to play in the way people are gathering together and the way they act together towards the rest of the people in their community. As the young lady said, we pay dues, and these dues can be very hefty sometimes. The board has a responsibility to write letters to find out what the laws are to state this is what you cannot do, this is what you can do. I like the idea that National Night Out is because a lot of people come out and your neighbors are there and you enjoy one another. That's another way you can get to know your neighbors. Like I said, when I first came here in my community, we had parades, we had block parties. It was really nice, and we had something called a group that watched out for the community. Mm-hmm. We had a block captains who watched out for the community. We don't have that anymore. We've lost a lot of sense of community. And community are people living together, like-mindedness. It was started years ago with the GI Bill. So it has to be back, you know, go back to the basics. That's what our director of common ownership, Eunicia Davis said, let's get back to the basics. Let's go back to what we used to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that in some communities, like you can even form like certain committees, like a hospitality committee. So that, for instance, whenever you do have a new neighbor that moves in, that could be something, you know, maybe it's a basket of muffins, some cookies, or maybe it's just some coffee, whatever, something simple. Just say, welcome to the neighborhood and, you know, talk about some of the things, you know, like the services in the community, you know. Certain things like that. Or there are certain committees that can be like the social committees. So they can plan the events like National Night Out or like community block parties or do things. Everyone may not have children in the community, but you could do things around certain holidays like, you know, like an Easter egg hunt or Easter bunny visits or, you know, Santa or something like that. So,
Gaynell, I know during the break you had mentioned, I thought was very interesting, because a lot of times we're thinking of condos, single family homes, townhomes. But if you live in an apartment, right? And who do you go to there? You know, what are the avenues for to reach out to an outside source to maybe handle some disputes or situations that aren't so smooth?
So I know we've encouraged with some of our units for people to form like a resident council. So you can actually, even in an apartment, you can get together and within the building, you know, form a group of people so that you can, again, have like-minded people, that you can be aware of certain issues, you can come together, you can voice your concerns together in united front, and, you know, put that up to, you know, the membership or the ownership, whoever it is that actually owns the apartment building, the management company, because sometimes, you know, there may be things that they need to be made aware of as well. And it's easy when it's not just a single voice.
Stacey Lincoln, ANC commissioner for Ward 4, what are the biggest complaints that you hear?
Oh, my God, that's an open
That's wide open.
Yeah, it's wide open. I get a number of complaints for a neighbor who is building or erecting a fence, and one neighbor may not know that they have a right to do it. There's an issue where we have one neighbor who purchased a dilapidated house, tore down that house, and is now going to build a structure that is very different from what the other buildings or the other homes look like. So now there's a complaint that someone is going to put a condo building in the middle of a single family community. And so, I mean, I get a number of complaints for a lot of things. I remember, I'll just say, I got a complaint about someone, it's, I almost want to laugh, where someone called me and said someone was doing makeup in the alley. And I just thought,
they can, right?
Well, it's a public walkway. Did they get the makeup in your yard? Did they cross your fence? I just really didn't know how to respond to that. So the way I responded was, well, I'll go to the alley and just look and see what it was. Of course, by the time I got there, everything had disappeared. People were gone. So I just get a number of complaints, and I pride myself in addressing a number of complaints. And I'll just tell you real quickly, sometimes how I handle those is I'll knock on the person who made the complaint, I'll knock on their door, and I'll also knock on the door on the two different sides of the person who made the complaint, and then sometimes even across the street and ask the ones across the street, are you aware of this situation as well? And that gives me a sense of, it's a legitimate complaint, or is it, it's someone who's just sort of, you know, disgruntled about something. So it's just a number of complaints. I mean, and the list is really too long for this segment.
We have a few moments left, and I'd like to get all three final thoughts, and also on how, make sure you give information on how folks can contact you or your agency that you're connected to, because a lot of folks listen and they want to know, hey, I want to talk to you, or I want to talk to your agency about how you can help me. So, Dr. Lewis, I will start with you, your final thoughts on this topic tonight.
My final thoughts are, when people come together in their community, crime is vacant, okay? Crime does not come in as much as it does. The reason that we have so much crime and things going on is because we've lost the sense of togetherness.
And Dr. Lewis, how can folks get in touch with you if they like?
They can call the Office of Community Relations. I'll give you that number. I'll find it again.
Okay,
we'll make it in my phone.
We'll make sure we post it on the website. Gaynell, okay. Diaz, your final thoughts in about 20 seconds.
I would just say, I think that we do need to learn to communicate, talk to our neighbors, and get that sense of, like I said, just communicating, that sense that we're connected to something, you know, bigger than ourselves. And if they'd like to contact me, they can contact me at the Alexandria Redevelopment Housing Authority, 703-549-7115.
And Gaynell says, create community events. That's the biggie. Yes. And Stacy, your final thoughts.
I would just say, I think that this was a fruitful conversation. I think that the first thing that neighbors really should do is go to their neighbors and just simply have a dialogue with them if they can. If they find that they're resistant to that, then just start a paper trail. Write them a letter, a kind letter, use kind language, but just create a paper trail. And if people want to get in touch with me, they can certainly get in touch with me at my ANC office. That's ANC4AO2. They can Google me. It's easy. My Facebook page is Stacy Lincoln at ANC4AO2.
Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you for our callers to further this conversation. Hopefully we will move forward, be more neighborly, have good neighborhoods, and throw some cookouts maybe this weekend, because it's going to be 70 degrees. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, January 10th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night and a great weekend. The Howard University.